Chief Executive Officer of Think Analytics, please give a warm welcome to Gabe Burger. You want this?
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, everyone. I'm glad we're here this week, not last week, when it was quite sweltering. This is a great group. Guy, thank you so much. It's a great venue. And looking around, I forgot how much I miss Virgin American when I look at this back here. I don't know if people fly Virgin American, but it makes you feel very calm and peaceful when you come in here, and that's fantastic. What's really heartening is everybody's talking about the same thing through different lenses, and that's great. And that's why it's great that there is Mesa, that we can actually do this and get together, which I think is really important. It's a variation on the same theme. AI, this is something AI, and I'm glad it was mentioned in the board, plumbing. AI is plumbing to us. That's all it is. It's really important, but we really need to start demystifying it. We call AI Thursday. That's what we do. That's how we run our business. We do 5 billion recommendations a day. We couldn't do it without AI. So we'll get into that a little bit more. But we're living in this new Hollywood, and if I look at it through the lens of the business I've been in, I worked for a company called Digital Smiths. We eventually sold to TiVo. And in that round of kind of business decisions, everything was solved and thought about it in some sort of database bake-off, right? And everybody kind of came out the same, frankly. And then it came down to who you wanted to work with, who you felt more comfortable with, maybe the deal, maybe all that kind of stuff. But in point of fact, I think everybody kind of came in the swim lane because everything was kind of the same. And then what happened is everything slowed down. And the reason it slowed down is everybody's been really damn busy, right? Acquiring the content, getting the right DRM, building the right UX. And I assure you, when you build a UX, no good deed goes unpunished. No one ever likes it. It's never good enough. It's a lot of focus groups. It's what happens. But in point of fact, you know, when you look at the situation, we're in the second inning where we've now built these living, breathing things. And we're all getting crushed by either volume, velocity, variability of the content. And it's definitely becoming quite competitive. Now, the corollary to that statement is, I would submit to you, being resident old guy, is that television is the new television, right? And all that means is someone's got to get paid, right? So let's not lose sight of that fact, that that's still very, very important. And as we track content and that proliferates, how important that's going to be in this whole context. I try to avoid the Captain Obvious slides here because I only have 15 minutes. This is not a theoretical slide. Netflix lost $26 billion in market value over the last week. They lost 137,000 U.S. customers, and they did not make their U.S. numbers. We live in an intention economy. That's very, very real. And the big boys are just coming out right now. We all know that. Everybody's girding their loins. Everybody's getting ready. They're going for that next living, breathing thing. So obviously very important. Another stat. There are 228 OTT providers presently in the United States of America. From the sublime to the ridiculous. From very, very punch above your weight class, like the Hallmark Channel has a great SVOD service. Loyal customers, don't churn, making money, supporting and kind of pollinating their other properties. Fantastic. They do a great job. I've seen niche services that literally will, an SVOD service devoted to the Titanic, right? That's a pretty small niche. Don't know if they're going to make it, right? Got to be a pretty specific audience, but nevertheless, they're in there out of the 228. So this is what we're seeing in this attention economy, what we're all dealing with, and it's obviously very real. So what we do is a lot of data science. That could be plumbing, that could be all the knobs and dials that we built. By the way, the knobs and dials we built, if we had them 8 years ago, and I think this is also a common thread I'm hearing, if we had them 8 years ago, nobody would use them. I see this to this day, walking into the data science guys and the marketing guys and some very, very big monolithic, huge companies, and they've never met each other. They literally have never met each other, right? So you're seeing this kind of confluence, conflation of cultures happening. But what we do is that we do a lot in terms of the algorithm, clearly, but it really does start with the metadata and the currency of the metadata. And that is supposed to do what? Increase meaningful personalization. So if you look at certain types of metadata, you have technical metadata. What we do is that we look at all that as a root metadata set, and we scan it. We do machine learning, right? And this enables us to do this at scale. We do this in many languages. I'll get to some of that chest beating in a little bit. But we do it for the purpose of getting a better efficacy of the content discovery experience. That's our lens of metadata. There's all sorts of metadata, right? We can suck. We have one client brings in 50 different data feeds. Very, very quickly, by the way. So what we're looking for is not just the data science part, but the nexus is what we're going to show you a little briefly, is how you have that nexus of data science and information science. So we look at it really in three phases. One is enrich the metadata, right? Another job where no good deed goes unpunished, as you well know. But enrich it for the purpose of learning more about the content. Now, that's interesting. You can do it. I think Mark mentioned companies that do things like on the frame level. I would submit to you at this point, that's noise. But it won't be, right? Because companies like Mark's are taking that frame level data and really making it quite more actionable. So the notion is build it out. So we run the BBC's content discovery on their iPlayer. In order to get that business, we had to tag 400,000 archives assets going back to 1917. And there's no root metadata for that, by the way. Some of that is just elbow grease. So we start building this. What do we build next? A container. So someone at HBO International Sales or Viacom or whatever that's in sales can say, what's in the building that I can sell? What if I A/B test this? What content do I have in this window to sell in this month? How would I have a container to visualize that on a B2B fashion? And then the next step, of course, is phase three, which is this personalized discovery, both in terms of browsing and in terms of search. So we go from what's in the building, or if you will, how do I consume this internally? And then, of course, how do I reach all these throngs of people out there on these many devices? So we bring it all together, again, with AI and machine learning. Our company is steeped, it started off 14 years ago in data mining, right? Data mining begat machine learning, begat AI. Again, it's formulaic, but what AI can't do yet, this is pointed out, I believe, by Mark and Scott, AI can't read. Right, it's not totally contextually aware. I think Big Blue IBM has it trying to debate now, literally, like create a construct of an argument. That's a big move. We're not talking about playing chess or Go, which is pretty big in and of itself, but to be able to do that is actually quite amazing. You don't need any more data. You need some insights. I know it's semantical, but I would definitely contend it's different. Again, it's the speed. We're no longer batch filing data. This API call is just going back and forth like crazy. You have to have a system that allows for that and a mindset of a company to allow for that. Crawl, walk, run. What we see, many, many companies fail because they try to boil the ocean. Set up a simple algorithm. Set up a simple use case and start from there. Where do you start? You start somewhere. This is what we see all the time. Control your business objectives. Very important. Very important. We get this all the time. Someone say, you know what? I want to do a POC with you. I'm like, okay, what exactly are you trying to prove? How do you know? If you're selling EST, and I got you a 4% conversion rate on a recommendation, they might want to put me in the Marketing Hall of Fame. That's pretty amazing. But if I'm trying to spread more recommendations over linear channels for programmatic advertising, maybe that's not that impressive. So you have to know where you're starting. And this comes down to best practices. This is 13 years of banging our head against the wall at some point and just learning. And this is what we see at our brothers and sisters at a Netflix, same thing. It's what you learn and about best practices. Lastly, measure, tune, and deploy. To be able to say, okay, how am I doing? How can I measure this? And how do I then tune the algorithm? So we do 5 billion recommendations a day. We are touching, in some fashion, 350 million customers. They're all like tier one operators. This is Sky, this is BBC, this is Viacom. These are the big guys. We just launched with DAZN, which is the Netflix of sports. I assure you, sports, the amount of transactions per second that we have to allow for in sports is unbelievable, because if you lose someone in sports, they don't come back. It's really, really tough to get them in that QoS experience. 40 languages. I think not only do languages, I think it's also important, we also can be multilinguistic. So a French-Canadian title is different than something that may be in something you'd watch in Paris. Or it could be very, very nuanced, but it could make a difference. Or a blended household showing both English and Spanish and some family viewing and things like that, where you're coalescing different types of data sets. And we're doing this in 38 countries. So the $5 billion recommendations a day, again, that's plumbing. That speaks to the ability to spin up in AWS or Google Cloud, and we have one on-prem guy left. But everybody else is basically, it's a SaaS model. But so what? How do you follow the life of each recommendation? How do you know, right? So that's the general propaganda. I'm just gonna take you through a quick demo here. Okay, so you're looking at here is called Think My TV. This is, we're not a UI company, we're not a UX company. This is the way you actually just expose the APIs. And this is a use case simulator. What does that mean? How and what am I presenting on the screen? That's all it basically means, right? So I want to show you what we do and how we drive things in information science and metadata. This is my profile. This is Gabe. That's for engineers. That's for marketing guys, right? It's the same thing. It's just weighted metadata in my profile. That's all it is. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a search here for UFC. By the way, we do this for linear, we do this for live, we do this for VOD, mobile. It doesn't make a difference to us. So here I'm at UFC. These are learn actions. This is to decide, or the customer will decide, how they're going to interact with their content. And then what are we going to learn from it? Are they going to watch it? Are they going to like it? Okay, in this case, they're going to like and watch it. Now, if you see here, we're going to go down. And we're going to show you the difference between certain types of metadata. Up top here is, in this case, it's Gracenote root metadata. I believe it's probably the LA market feed of Gracenote, right? So I'm looking at that, and that's the stuff we're looking at. But this is where information service sciences start. We're adding all that. By the way, we've done this already to 2.5 million titles. So we already have that database as well. So now, one of the things I can do is that I've also created tons of mood facets. I have 24,000 facets. I'm just literally just gonna do some hand waving, run you through this. I don't know, slow down, Manny. They're gonna think I'm totally faking it. All right, so if we went to pick one. Okay, so you picked, I don't even know what you picked. So this is these movies, and by the way, when I see these movies, the ones that are in window in this particular market, in this, so you wanna really alienate a customer, show them something they can't watch. They really don't like that. So this is totally time-based to the extent that this is what's in window now, and these are the titles that would fall under that tag as well. All right, now, this has changed. Now I'm weighted differently. Now Gabe's profile is weighted differently, right? So this is how We're on Viacom 18 in India. First of all, we went from 42 million to 50 million mobile devices without breaking a sweat, because we didn't even know, because it just spun up and auto-scaled on AWS perfectly. But at the same time, we're delivering in 8 languages 50 million personalized experiences on mobile. We couldn't do it with AI, but we couldn't do it with information sciences either. You need both. You know, I remember during the midterms, Facebook, you know, was using all manner of algorithms, filtration, to really shut down hate speech and other nefarious things. But I don't know, it looked to me like it was still, at the end of the day, and I'm not saying this flippantly, but it was a bunch of 25-year-olds in a room supervised by a 29-year-old, right? I mean, there's still a human intervention that we need that's still going to be a part of it. And we see on the human equation part of things is that that's not going away. That's getting bigger. Our friends at Netflix tell us they're hiring script writers that look at the certain patterns of a script to make that a data set, right? So frame level, closed captioning, all that's important, but let's not forget the human part, because at the end of the day, look, I'll give you a perfect example. One of our clients used a lot of data to see that they were over-indexing like crazy on Nicolas Cage movies, right? That's the science part. The art part was, the stunt was, Nicolas Cage is 55, right? Data science didn't come up with the pitch. They came up with the basic reason why we should make this pitch, right? The Razzies, for instance, is every movie that's awful. It has a 1 rating. Normally, that would be the opposite of what you recommend in a curated list. But you're coming up with, it's so bad, it's good, that's human intervention. So all that stuff is really, really important, right? It's all really, really important to say, you need both of this, these kind of components to make this happen. My time is running down here. I think we're around. We can show you guys more. We'd be delighted to do so now or some other time. You know, I appreciate your time. I think what we haven't shown you is some curation tools to be able to combine editorial, non-algorithmic, with data. And the other thing is, again, showing conversion metrics, heat maps, et cetera. So thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you, Gabe.